kind of get stuck on the course and you can't get it out of your head. But that should be our desires, is to have more about Jesus in our lives each and every day. If you're following along this morning, we're going to be in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Verses 1 through 6. Now, everyone has faith, as one person observed. You go to a doctor that says words we can't pronounce. They give you a prescription that we can't read. You take it to the pharmacist, who you've never seen before. They give you medication you do not understand, and yet we take it. Now that's living by faith, he says. The fact is, we can't go through a single day without living by faith. When we flip on a light switch, we put faith in the electric company and the lighting and everything. When you turn on your car and stuff like that, we expect it to crank up and go. You mail a letter, you have faith in the post office. But sometimes, of course, your faith might be misplaced, because faith is only as valuable as the object of that faith. And we know that, you know, automobiles fail, mail gets lost, doctors make mistakes and different things like that. And the same thing is true about our spiritual faith. Now, Buddhists have faith in Buddha. Muslims trust in Allah. Hindus believe in various gods, thousands actually. Most religious people put faith in their ability to keep the rules, to be good enough, as they say, to satisfy their God that they believe in, or reach their nirvana, or build up good karma, whatever that may be. Even when people claim no religion at all, they still live by faith. Every human puts faith in something. It may be in some notion of human potential. It may be in the supremacy of science or reason or political power. Many people put their faith in the state to take care of their every need. Or they may have faith in some vague concept like oneness with nature, but everyone lives by some sort of faith belief. Hebrews 11 is called the faith chapter. It would be easy to build a whole series of sermons based around that, but we'll just kind of skim the surface. I'll leave it up to you in your walk with God to dig a little bit deeper into what that is. So, what biblical faith is? Hebrews 11 puts a big concept into a few words. Verse 1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. A fellow named A.W. Tozer had an interesting explanation, and he said, faith is seeing the invisible, but not the non-existent. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, in 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote in chapter 5 and verse 7, we live by faith, not by sight. That sounds simple enough, but for some reason, people get all kinds of misconceptions about what faith is. So let's look at what biblical faith is not. For one thing, faith is not a blind leap in the dark. Some people think you have to ignore logic and reason in order to believe in God. The fact is, believing there is no God requires an unreasonable kind of faith when you think about it. If atheists, agnostics, or secular humanists put their faith into words, it might sound like this. By faith, we believe that the universe evolved from mindless matter so that order accidentally emerged from the chaos. Of course, they'd be hard-pressed to find actual facts for their statement. Science shows us that things go from order to chaos, that things decay. If we ever seen a rusted piece of metal, we see what happens after someone took the time to bring forth this iron ore and then turn it into a piece of steel, or even iron, cast iron, anything that makes it into a useful tool for us. And then it lays in a field for a while, and then it kind of returns back to that. And it crumbles back into that ore again. So, I don't know about you, but I find Hebrews 11:3 much more plausible. In verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So, right there, Paul is really telling us it's not matter that was out there that this all came from, but that God that spoke it into existence. So even before the 20th century, whenever they started to formulate the idea that everything came from what they call an infinitesimally small piece of matter that all this came. Well, they have trouble with that explanation. Well, there's parallel universes and string theory. There's all kind of theories out there to try to explain how something came from nothing. But Paul tells us right here that we know by faith that when we look at this universe that there's a creator. And he created it, and it's in order, and it works, and it all came from nothing. Now, their statement and our statement both require faith. But Christian faith is compatible with logic and reason. It's based on historical evidence. It's supported by the biblical record, by personal testimony, and by our own experiences as we look around us. We know in our hearts, and many people do, even though they try to deny it, that this got here some kind of way. And it's not just some sort of accident. D.L. Moody said one time, "I prayed for faith and thought that someday it would come down and strike me like lightning. But faith didn't seem to come. One day I read in Romans that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I had, up until that time, closed my Bible and prayed for faith. Now I open my Bible and begin to study, and faith has been growing every day." And that's the key. You have to put yourself in God's frame of mind. Now, we can't completely do that because of how awesome He is and how great He is and all the things He's known and seen and everything. We'll never comprehend that. But God has a way of working that we can understand. His wisdom is not the same as the world's wisdom. And the world seeks after other wisdom. But we seek after the wisdom of God, and we seek after that which we can have through Him. So, you know, another misconception of faith is that we can make God do anything we want. And that kind of faith will not last the first major disappointment in our life. That we can't say, "God, I'm on your side, let's make the whole path rosy for me. Let's smooth out all the paths in my life. When I pray to you, let's all the red lights change to green and I just zip through town as fast as can be and all that." You won't make it past the first disappointment in life. And a lot of people live that way. And you think they're very faithful and they look faithful. They're always doing things in church. They're always singing. They're always participating, doing this. And some crisis comes into their life that strips them of all the faith they had. And they're gone from the church. Their faith was based upon God giving them things and not upon God being God. And faith is not an adherence to a list of doctrines. Biblical faith is a relationship with a personal God. In the Old Testament, God often referred to as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those who had a relationship with God. Now we know, of course, that in our lives that God has given us, and we read the Bible, that we have some things to adhere to, that there's some things we must do in order to be pleasing to Him. But that alone is not what God wants. God doesn't want someone who's a robot that goes through the motions just so that they won't get the eternal fly swatter in the end. But He wants someone that loves Him and wants a relationship with Him and is going to give their life to Him just as His Son has given His life for us. And that together we'll walk hand in hand with Him through this life and into the eternal life after that, into the eternal bliss of that. And Hebrews 11 gives a whole list of people who put their trust in God in worship. It talks about Abel, the first biblical example, in verse 4 of Hebrews 11. "By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings." Now Abel, it says that he gave with a sincere heart. And how do we describe that? Because it's kind of ambiguous just to say a sincere heart. Well, let's look at it this way. If Abel loved God and he wanted to give God a sacrifice, he wasn't going to give Him that dented can in the back of the pantry with no label on it. That some people decide, "Well, I don't know what it is, so I'll give it to the food pantry." But He gave him the best can out there with the prettiest label that was most expensive. Now, I know that's kind of a metaphor on what He did, the sacrifice He did, but He gave God something good and something that was valuable to Abel. And we do that today when we give Him our time in studying His Word and doing His will. When we give Him of our best. When we give to the church and everything. We give God our best. Just as we give our children our best. We wouldn't want to give our kids something bad. You know, Jesus said, or Paul said, you know, what kid asks for something and father gives him a snake or a rock? You know, he gives him something good. So Abel gave God the best that he had. What did Cain do? Well, there's a God up there. And I guess I better do something. My brother's doing something, so I guess I got to look good too. So he finds something and sacrifices it. But it's not from his heart. He doesn't care about God, doesn't want to know God. But he knows from his mother and his father and from the things around him that there is a God. So he grudgingly does his sacrifice. So we need to give God all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul, and all our spirit when we worship Him. He must be the one that we look to for all. Genesis 5:24 tells us, another example is Enoch. He walked with God and he was no more because God took him away. You have to wonder how close that walk was with God for God to take him away without him having to suffer the second death. But he did, and that's the story. Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Now he had to be special in that day. He walked so close to God that he was already there. You know, the story is told that Enoch walked with God and they walked along the path and they finally got there and God said, why don't you just come into my house, it's right here. That's how close Enoch was with us. And how close are we to this world as compared to heaven? Do we walk closer to the world or do we walk closer to God? That's the key there. And we won't be happy walking with this world because the world is full of disappointments. But God is going to walk with us. So we need to walk with God each day. And then there's Noah, who only him and his family were able to be saved out of this world. No one followed him. In fact, he's compared as judging the world because he was able to follow God. He was able to look to God. In verse 7 of Hebrews 11, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So because of his example, he condemned the rest of the world because no one could ever say, well, God, we didn't know about you. No one told us about you. Well, he worked on an ark for a whole lot of years and preached to people who laughed at him, made fun of him, ridiculed him. Drops falling from the sky, Noah? When did that happen? Springs bursting forth from underneath the land? When did that ever happen? But yet Noah believed God, and he went and he followed God. And in the end, it was all those people who realized that they needed help, but it was too late then. They lived their life, they rejected God, they rejected Noah's plea, and they suffered the consequences. If we reject God, how can we expect Him to accept us? I mean, it makes simple sense. You know, if you try to be someone's friend and they reject you and push you off and dislike you and do bad things to you, eventually you're going to say, well, I don't really want to hang around with this person because it's just awful when I do. You know, so you basically just forget about trying to be, you know, have a relationship with them. Same way with God. If we're going to reject Him, then He is going to reject us. I heard a story about a small boy who prayed at the dinner table. I guess he had learned about the story of Noah at church. After thanking God for the food, and he said, and Lord, if you need someone to build an ark, I'll do it. Most of us are not going to be asked to build, you know, some 400 or whatever foot boat it was. It was just gargantuan measurements, maybe 1,000 feet. I don't remember the exact measurements, but you know, it's been compared to like the super tankers that are out there and transport ships. But God has given every one of us talents that we have to use, and our faith should lead us to those abilities that we have, and that faith will be pleasing to God. You don't have to build an ark. You don't have to be the most famous person in the world. But if you make a difference in one person's life, in one heart and one soul, and change one life and bring someone back or bring someone to Christ, that means a whole lot. Warren Wiersbe said in one of his commentaries, "Faith enables us to understand what God does. Faith enables us to see what others can't see. As a result, faith enables us to do what others cannot do." And that is to be the standard bearers for the kind of life that we need to live. Like we're like Noah, we're like Abraham, we're those that trust God, put our faith in God, and will live by God when the world turns its back on God and rejects Him. We'll keep heading in that same direction. And of course, Abraham. Abraham had to wait. Abraham waited for whom in the promised land? In fact, he spent his entire life living in tents. And you know, tent life is not the most comfortable thing in the world. But that's how he lived his life. He was waited 100 years in order to have a son when it was figured out that it was too late. You know, when we get to be around 100, we're not thinking about having children. And that would certainly take some sort of a miracle or some sort of, I guess today, you know, science might be able to concoct some sort of way to make that happen in some sort of way. But, I mean, it's not going to be the natural way that had to occur back then. But yet, at almost 100, they got their child from God. You know, faith requires us to wait sometimes. Sometimes for a long time. And when you're in a bad spot, time just seems to tick by so slower. You used to hear the old watches and clock, you know, tick, 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 tick. But when you're in a spot, it's like tick, 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 and then it slows down from there. So waiting is not a very good thing. But sometimes we have to wait for that answer to a prayer. Have to wait for that job offer. We have to wait for the result of that medical test. And we have to wait for, you fill in the blank. We've all had to wait. We pray and we wait and we pray and we wait. And at the right time, God rewards our faith if we put our faith in Him. All the heroes of the Old Testament waited with faith. Hebrews 11:13, the 13th verse, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They didn't receive what was promised. They did not get the Messiah during their lifetime. But they believed in the promise. Until the day they died, they believed in that promise. And when Jesus died on that cross, that's what they were looking forward to. We look back to that event and see God's great love, God's great patience, everything that God did for us. We consider His kindness and His severity for those who don't follow Him. But for those who want to follow God, who want to trust God, He'll be there for us. It may not happen today or tomorrow, the next week, the next month, or the next year. But our faith in God will be rewarded. It won't be pushed off. Our reward may be that we were an example to someone else. And that because of our faith and patience, they got a little bit more strength to keep going just a little bit longer and hang on to the answer of their prayers were there. You know, inexperience looks to experience. Youth looks to maturity. Everyone looks to that. Our children look to us for strength and patience. When things are going bad, people look to others for a little bit of strength. And they take courage in their examples. And we can be that for someone else. With faith, they looked upon the coming of the Messiah. With faith, we look back to it. And all of us continue to look ahead to the time when all the promises of Scripture will be fulfilled. And when we take leave of this earth, that we change addresses, and we're with God in heaven, and there's no medical test to wait for, there's no jobs to wait for, there's no anything to have to wait for over there. For all will be perfect, including ourselves. All will be made new. We won't be old. We won't be sick or tired or anything like that. Because all will be perfect in that kingdom. And that's what we look forward to, is that promise. Hebrews 11:6. Didn't read that one yet. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Listen to that. If you don't have faith, and that's not lip service. Lip service is not faith, saying I believe in God and not doing anything that resembles a, you know, any kind of following God. It's impossible to please Him. And we must believe that He exists. And that's not a maybe that, well, let me talk good about God just in case He's real out there. And, you know, I might need to say, well, God, I didn't mention to you whenever I was alive. It's not that. The third part, and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. That's what faith is all about. Believing that if we live our life with God, through the ups and downs of life, in the end, it's nothing but up. Nothing but good, nothing but blessings, nothing but sunshine, nothing but all the things that we can't even be blessed with on this earth, we'll be blessed with in heaven, including walking with God for eternity. What a wonderful thing to look forward to. What a wonderful thing to wrap your mind around and say, that's what I want to do in my life, is follow God until the end. Because in the end, I'll reap the reward that He promises to us. He doesn't lie. He doesn't tell us fibs. It's promised and He will deliver. Jesus said, if it wasn't so, I'd tell you. But it is so and it is real. And Jesus is real today. I don't know what your condition is this morning or if you have need of the church, but won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?